Heidi and Frank show. If you're joining us right now, well, you're in for a treat because our friend of the show, Mark Maron, is going to join us. He has the critically acclaimed half-hour series, Maron. It's currently in its second season on IFC, and the show airs on Thursdays at 10 p.m. The show was created, written, and produced by Mark. He also directs episodes in this current season, so he's got a director's credit.
Bit of a hog, if you ask me, my God.
I know. It's like, come on, man. Hire somebody. the first season of Maron can currently be found on Netflix, and there he is.
Our
my
buddy.
God. It's about time, man. We keep calling and calling, and it's so hard to get a hold of.
Well, he's famous.
Can you turn
right?
up the heat in here? What's going on?
I know.
What's
it's hot
happening
in here, right?
I didn't know I should just come in a towel. Should I just
wear
a towel?
It's like a steam room.
What's happening?
Well, our producer, Sammy, gets cold, so she turns it all the way up. So when she left,
like
I turned
it. Like,
it's
not enough? You're up at 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning?
Yes.
You've got to
come
box.
Into this heat? Like I'm already ready for a nap.
Which makes you sleepy.
Should I stop yelling?
No.
Let me put my headphones on.
Put your headphones on. Is this the first time you've been in a radio?
It is. I'm very excited. I'm very excited about it. I hope I don't screw up.
I think you'll be fine.
You think so?
My God, 2.5 to 3 million downloads of your podcast a month?
Yeah, something like that. I don't. Those numbers sound fine.
Those numbers sound pretty damn awesome.
Now, when you first started that, you started it back in 2009.
Yeah.
Did you have, when you first started, the numbers?
Yeah.
I mean, how many listeners did you, or downloaders did you have? Do you remember?
I think, I was coming off radio, so I brought over, though it was political radio, I stopped that immediately upon doing the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But I did bring over probably 5,000 or 6,000, I think, the first week or two. When I remembered really checking the numbers when we started, it was like 15,000. I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
15,000 people.
Care about what I want to say.
Yeah. Around the world.
Yeah.
Everywhere in the world.
And I can say whatever I want.
Yeah. They're spread out. But there are 15,000 of them. And then it just started to build and it started to pick up and then it started to get ridiculous. And I was like, what? That many? Like, I don't even think about it. I can't think about it.
When you started, you were in your garage.
I started it, actually, we used to break into the studio. When I was at Air America in New York, and I'd been fired for the fourth time, being the good progressives that they were, they're like, well, they're still under contract for a month, so I guess we can't kick them out of the office, which is unheard of in radio.
Totally.
So we have our security cards, and we're like, we're going to do something. So we started going in late at night and just using the studio to do about the first dozen podcasts. We'd bring guests up on the freight elevator. You know, like Gaffigan would call me from the street. I'm like, we'll be down in a second. Just wait around back. And we'd bring them up. And it wasn't the show that it is now. It was more like we had segments. We had multiple guests. We did phoners. So we did it in that studio for a while. And then when I moved back to L.A., I just got some mics in my garage and asked another podcaster, Jesse Thorne, what mics do I buy? And
right.
I just set up, and then it sort of evolved into the show it is now. Now people come over. Billy Gibbons was in my garage last week. I get excited about weird things. Like, that's not weird. It's Billy Gibbons,
right.
You know? And so I've had a lot of people over there. I mean, who was on? I had RuPaul. RuPaul was on Monday. That's up. I had no idea what to expect. Have you had RuPaul? Of course you
no.
have.
No, we haven't had RuPaul. We can't get her to come here.
Really?
But what I love about RuPaul is so fantastic because, like, she doesn't show up as RuPaul unless
right.
she's being paid.
Right. It's just Ru. Right.
Right.
It's just a dude.
Yeah,
dude
he's like, all right.
But that's interesting because I didn't know anything about him. And I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to talk? And it turned out to be one of the greatest episode. I had no idea. It became this weird spiritual.
Yeah, he's inspirational.
Uplifting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he is inspirational. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling a little under the weather, and I was
all of a sudden you feel good.
Right, it was one of those rare episodes, not so rare.
And the makeover was incredible. I mean,
yes, I looked fabulous. I looked hot.
Man. I don't know that you'd make a pretty lady, Mark. You're a handsome fellow.
I think that you should give me a little credit, Heidi, and think
right.
about it. I mean, maybe the nose is a little much, but makeup does
wonders.
I was
wonders. Thinking more along the line of all the facial hair, but the nose is fine.
Oh, why are you so judgmental?
There was a drag queen recently that had won a contest but had a full beard,
it was
right?
a songwriting, European
really
songwriting
pretty.
Competition.
Yeah, I mean, come on, open your mind.
I should.
Women with
that's,
beards, that's... it's happening. It's happening now.
And but believe me, my lady's premenopausal, so I should get used to it. Sorry, honey.
Really? Just, is she premenopausal now?
I'm just making jokes. I mean, don't get me in trouble. Let's just
move on. Is that when lesbian bed death happens? It's like, you know, you don't want to, you got to get a
camel. It's like the Sahara Desert
yeah,
down there.
You got to get a camel to go down.
Oh, my God. Should I be wearing clothes? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. This is getting so hot. Boy, the way you guys talk about sex.
It is getting
it's
hot.
Already hot now. I'm a little sweaty.
Take that jacket off.
Mark, your special that you released back in 2013, Stinky Pain, it's on Netflix right now, and the album was recently available on online in stores, and I saw that's on iTunes.
Yeah.
And vinyl. And you got a couple reviews.
Wait, what's going to happen now? Are these good reviews?
Well,
is this where I get sandbagged?
How many?
The very first one, 5 stars.
Bam!
Hilarious!
I'm in!
The very first one, the guy goes, best comedy album in some time.
Wow.
It really spoke to me, loved it.
I
hope the success doesn't ruin his funny, meaning it's so good that it could go to your head. But 5 stars still, and then that was the very first review. Then the second review was no thanks, 1 star.
No thanks, 1 star.
Exactly as mundane and mediocre as I suspected it would be.
That guy's just a douchebag.
Hone up those waiter skills, or the world needs ditch diggers too.
Ditch diggers and waiters, those are my options. That guy decided, like... Hold on, let me write those suggestions down, because who knows when things are going to go south for me.
You don't want to forget those two things.
Ditch digging is what that was. I hadn't had that on the list. Well, but maybe
your guidance counselor never told you that maybe you'd be a good ditch digger.
A good what?
Whoa.
Yo.
It's getting hot in here.
Oh, my God.
Now I'm being sucked in.
We know what's on my mind.
Yeah.
Mark Maron walks in all of a sudden.
Congratulations on the success of your show, though, on IFC.
But isn't a weird thing about those comments? See, I won't do that anymore. I won't even do what you just did. I can't go to iTunes anymore.
Don't do that.
Well, a couple of things happened. You know, in the first season of Marin, I talked about being trolled on Twitter, and I actually pursued a guy, you know, who was trolling me. I did some detective work, and I figured out who he was and where he was, and I went and found him.
That's awesome.
But it actually happened. It's happened a couple of times in my life where, like, one time when I was doing radio, and it should have been a life lesson. Like, I was doing radio, and I would be the only one that went through the emails. Well, you guys don't go through your emails, do you?
No.
Right. So I'd be like, oh, what are people saying? So I'd go to to the email for the show, and one guy was like, yeah, get rid of Marin. Let the grown-ups talk. And I'm like, what? What is he talking about? So I write back to the guy. I'm like, what do you mean, let the grown-ups talk? And then he writes back, you don't know what you're talking about. You're way out of your league. You should just quit and go back to doing comedy or whatever you do. And so then I engage him again.
Ditch digging.
Then I'm like, well, what exactly do you have a problem with? And then I go back and forth with this dude who's holding his line. Like, look, I don't like you. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't like me? And eventually I get this email from him that he says, please stop emailing me. How did I become the...
Right.
Am I the stalker?
You started it.
Can a guy try to get someone to like him and get a reason why the guy doesn't like him?
But that's actually, I mean, you got to have both sides. I mean, if people hate you, then obviously you're doing something right as well, right?
No, I agree with that. But like in the culture we live in now, with how we're so easy to access, you know, like anybody can really, I'm not a big celebrity, but I will read my Twitter feed. And
right,
then people say like, don't engage. But if you're feeling crappy one day, you're like, no, this guy's going to pay.
I'm engaging.
Right. And then you go back and forth 10 times, you create a Twitter war. The guy's got 3 followers. You've just been... sucked into this.
And he doesn't even have a picture. It's just an egg. Yeah, like, why am I worried about this person?
And then
Who cares?
You feel filthy.
Right.
Like, you feel dirty. Like, I'm like, why'd I do that? And then people who like me are like, why don't you ever talk to us? Well, because I want to be mad.
You're like the parent that's giving all the attention to the ne'er-do-well kid. But
yeah,
the kid
right.
with the A's and B's and the great student.
You're fine.
Right, you're fine. Don't worry about you. I've got to pay all my attention to this kid.
But that is, in the internet, people, I mean, very rarely go on to give compliments. I mean, if they listen or if they like you, it's just like, oh, I'll be back tomorrow when the download is available. I'll download the next one and listen. But it seems like, I think recently on Facebook, I hardly ever go on Facebook anymore. But
I can't. It's too complicated.
I
don't know what's
up,
happening.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Last night, some guy was like, oh, this show sucks. No wonder you got to be on Dish Nation to get somebody to even listen to your show.
Oh.
And it sounds like you have a case of the itty bitty balls syndrome.
Wow.
They couldn't be more wrong. Your testicles are enormous.
I know.
I've seen them online.
I said I had the exact opposite. I have a very hard time keeping jeans in the crotch area because I wear through them.
He does.
But I did engage. I answered him back and told him my balls were large.
You got sucked in. Because if they're good, they're going to hit those weird insecurities, because you probably spent a lot of time going like, are my balls big enough? I mean, I think they're pretty large. And this guy just hit your panic button.
The plan of the scene.
And then he left it like a cliffhanger. He's like, if you want to know how to solve this problem, I have the answers. So then it, like, he basically, yeah, he did. He
you should have found a picture online of some like grotesquely large testicles.
Right.
And just said, here you go. This is what my balls look like. Who wins?
And
I win.
So when you searched this guy out, when the troll, and you actually found him, you face-to-face found him? It was like a catfish thing
him? That episode from the first season, which is on Netflix as well, the whole first season of Marin's on Netflix, is, some dude was, trash-talking me on a buddy of mine's blog, on Tom Sharpling's blog, the best show, WFMU best. And he was basically campaigning to get people to hate me. He was calling me a sexist. He was calling me this and that, that my comedy sucks. So I look at this, and I look at his avatar on that. And somehow or another, I get his name. I see, his avatar is like it's a scene from Punch Drunk Love, right? So I go on Facebook then, and I search his name. And there's a lot of people who have that name. But I start looking at people, Punch Drunk Love. So the favorite movie, Punch Drunk Love. I'm like, that's my guy. So so then I start messaging that guy, like, dude, like, if you're going to paraphrase my jokes and crucify me, do the whole joke. Like, he was just taking pieces of jokes and using them. So he goes like, oh, so it's really an issue about, like, how much of the joke. It doesn't matter how much of the joke I use. You're still this or that. So, but I go back and forth with this guy on and off for like a year.
Mark!
For a year. This idiot. And but this is a long time ago. I'm better now. I don't do this now. But eventually, after like a year, he finally said, sorry, I was going through some stuff when that started.
That is what I was going to ask you about. That's the most amazing thing.
Right. We have a lot in common. I was just like in trouble and I'm okay now. And I don't know. How do you feel then?
That's what I was going to ask you about, because I'll get the emails and be like, you're fat, you're ugly troll, you're an obnoxious laugh, you think you're funny, you're not, you need to go away, just die already.
What bad things are they saying?
Right. So in the morning, I'll open it in the morning and the first thing I'll say is, wow, you sure do know how to make a girl's morning or something like that. And then I'll get that same, it's so cool that you emailed me, man. Right. I was drunk and my girlfriend's pissed me off. And I'm going, all that rant.
They just want your attention.
Right. And I was just like, whoa, you sure know how to make a girl feel good about herself. And all of a sudden, oh, I'm so sorry. It's so cool you emailed me.
I think it might be on the news last night. They were talking about, somebody making bullying against the law, where it's like including cyberbullying.
I guess you'll have to close down high school.
Yeah.
I mean,
more high school.
Yay!
Is it ridiculous? I mean, the possibility of trying to make bullying against the law?
I don't know what. Obviously, bullying's horrible, and I've been bullied, and I've been a bully, but I don't know.
But what's the difference between bullying and teasing?
Well, you're going to have to put a whole infrastructure in place to decide who's going to judge what bullying is.
Right.
I mean, clearly, bullying is, like, if someone's getting beat up or something, it's clear.
Yeah.
But what about the, sometimes the person who's being bullied is I've been in relationships. where it goes both ways, it takes two to tango, as they say.
There's a mayor in Porterville, California. He has here's a clip of what he thinks about bullying.
I'm against bullying, but I'm getting tired of it being used as a mantra for everything and the ills the world. When all most people have to do is grow a pair and stick up for them.
It is hard to stand up and grow a pair when you're maybe a 10-year-old little girl.
Then maybe the other 10-year-olds that think that they want to stop bullying will stand up for her.
Yeah, but
instead of a safe zone with a placard and a bunch of training that goes on.
Yeah, at this particular school, they want to put up no bullying zones at the high school.
So again, it's a itty bitty ball problem.
Yeah,
apparently.
It goes back to balls again.
Wait,
throw a pair.
Wait, I'm being bullied, and it's like a game of tag. Like, oh, I'm safe. I'm in no bully zone. Well,
you
stop.
Yeah, you walk down this hallway, it's a no bully zone. So they're standing there going, oh, we'll get you when you walk out.
Well, it seems like in schools that that it's the teacher's job. That I think it comes down to responsible adults within whatever's going on. Like, if it's a 10-year-old and there's an issue going on, grown up should step in.
The parent,
but also
know your kid's an a-hole.
Right, you should, but I think a lot of times in schools it's very hard to manage. I mean, that stuff should be taken care of. I mean, those bad seeds, they do exist, and usually their parents are just as bad. If the kid's a bully and you go to that kid's parents, you're like, what's your problem? My kid's fine.
I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah, I'm going to kick your ass. Who are you to say my kid's a bully?
That's how it would go down.
The apple doesn't fall far.
It definitely is a problem at a certain age. But I mean, like, if you're crying bully and you're in your 20s or 30s, I mean, it still exists, but you do have to deliberate it differently.
Right.
Yeah.
I was saying earlier, congratulations on the success of your show, Maron, on IFC. You're currently in your second season. Like I said, you can watch that first season on Netflix. It's available, but it airs on Thursdays at 10 p.m. on IFC. What can we look forward to in the second season?
You guys.
Yeah!
Yeah, I mean,
we're TV stars.
No big deal.
Yeah, I wrote you guys into a show to be yourselves,
we
kind
were
of.
Honored. I loved it.
And you were very funny. It's a very funny scene.
Oh, good, good.
It opens up the... Well, I did. It's episode 10. I think that one airs July 10th. And it was about radio. It was about sort of the difference between podcasting and radio, having done radio. And I have a certain real respect for people that do radio. So it was like it was about the business of radio. And I go on your show, and I made you a little different.
A little bit creative.
I did condescend a bit. but the thing is that I don't win in that scene. I mean, your beat was hilarious. That when I start complaining, we just let that hang and you do your line. It came out very funny.
It was so much fun.
Yeah,
thanks for thinking of us when you thought about doing that episode. And be sure, and check out the entire season of Maron on IFC, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Thank you so much. And follow him at Mark Maron. He just might answer you back sometime.
Oh, but only if you're mean.
I'm not taking the bait.
Don't take the bait, Mark.
I'm not going to take the bait.
Thank you, man. Come back anytime. It's an open door.
Thanks a lot, man.
We're hiding, Frank.